Hello and welcome to the Paleo Baby Podcast. My name is Christopher Kelly.
And I'm Julie Kelly.
And I'm joined today by Toria Rodriguez. Toria is a former Silicon Valley executive, professional pilot, and is now training to become a certified functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. Hi, and thanks for being on the show, Toria.
Thanks, Chris and Julie. I'm excited to be here.
I'm glad to have you.
So I think we should start by tell us your story, because it's really quite fascinating. So tell me, how did it start? You were working in Silicon Valley.
Yeah, so after university, I decided to work in tech because, of course, there's tons of tech here in Silicon Valley. And so I worked in tech for about 10 years and worked my way up into some upper-level management. And you know, I really didn't like the cubicle life that much. I didn't like the corporate politics. I really enjoy being outside and having variable schedules and stuff. So some friends of mine learned how to fly. And at first I thought, oh, that is just really great. And I think that I could pick that up as a hobby. So I checked it out and definitely got bit by the aviation bug pretty hard and decided that I was going to switch careers and become a professional pilot. So I endeavored on doing flight training while I was going to work full-time and eventually made the switch and became a professional pilot. And I was doing that for about 5 years and loving it. I flew for private families here in the Bay Area who had their own jets and turboprops and was really having a great time and really happy about, you know, following my dream and, you know, having the career that I had wanted. And then I got sick. And when I got sick, it basically resulted in me not being able to fly. And so I ended up changing careers and now am endeavoring on the functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner because it's been so fascinating, my healing journey.
Well said. It's not easy to say that, is it? The functional diagnostic nutrition practitioner. I think that's the hardest.
it's a tongue twister for sure. So you have to, you know, make sure that you've got plenty of energy before you say it. Otherwise, you'll twist it for sure.
Yeah. Well, you mentioned that you got sick, and that's one of the reasons that, you know, we wanted to have you on the show and talk with us today, because, you know, I'd like to have you talk about that a little bit, because that was actually your thyroid, wasn't it? You were diagnosed. Yeah. Eventually with Hashimoto's. The thyroid sessions are going on right now, and I think this is a particular issue. You know, it's a Paleo Baby podcast, but it's a kind of an issue that affects a lot of women, whether you're, you know, a mom or not a mom. And so I think it's a pertinent thing for us to talk about. So why don't you tell us a little bit about what happened when you got sick?
Sure. So, you know, I had noticed that some things weren't quite right. I was getting really fatigued and sleeping like 12 hours, 14 hours a night and still not feeling really refreshed the next day and kind of slogging through things. And I also was I still am, but I was way into cycling at that time. And I was doing a lot of centuries and I was probably riding about 150 miles a week and really enjoying that. But I also noticed that I started gaining weight, even though I was cycling all that much, and I was eating pretty healthy and really watching what I was eating. I wasn't eating junk, and or at least junk at that time, the way that I defined it. And I just wasn't feeling all that great, and I went in for a normal annual exam, you know, a PAP, and met with my OBGYN, and she decided to take some blood work. And she called me and let me know that, you know, I had abnormal lab work. And that was it. That was the first shock, because I had never in my life had abnormal blood work before. So that was a little bit of a shock. And then, you know, really we had diagnosed or no diagnosis at that time. She had just identified that TSH, which is a very common lab that's taken for thyroid issues, was a bit elevated and that my lipids were elevated and suggested that I see an endocrinologist.
And So TSH, thyroid stimulating hormone. So this tells us that your brain is not happy with the amount of circulating thyroid hormone. So thyroid hormone being like almost like the gas pedal that makes cells do what they do, right? So this kind of explains the sluggish metabolism and fatigue, that type of thing. It's not always the cause of those things, but it certainly would explain it here.
Absolutely, it would. And, you know, I was surprised when I finally learned that almost every cell in our body has hormone receptor for thyroid. And it's not just for metabolism, it's for everything.
Yeah, right.
So that was pretty amazing. And so I kind of decided not to go see an endocrinologist because, you know, I did a lookup to see whether or not thyroid medication would have been basically looked over by the FAA or investigated by the FAA. So the FAA, you have to pass a medical in order to be a pilot. And you have to declare any medical issues that you have. And if you're taking any medications, you have to declare those as well. And thyroid medications was one of the ones that they monitored. And I didn't want to go down that path. I didn't want to have issues with my medical. I didn't want to have issues with my career. So I decided to see a chiropractor and try and I was seeing a chiropractor who was kind of a functional medicine guy and trying to deal with it naturally by taking some supplements. You know, I was taking iodine and selenium and those kinds of things and really trying to see if I couldn't work through it that way. And he was smart enough to take more extensive thyroid labs. And so we tested finally for antibodies for autoimmune thyroid disease, which is Hashimoto's. There's two. There's Hashimoto's and there's Graves, but the type I have is Hashimoto's, which is the most common. And we found antibodies at that point, and they were fairly high. And he knew when he was kind of out of his own knowledge area. So he referred me to an endocrinologist. So at this point, I kind of broke down and decided, okay, I'm going to go see the endocrinologist. And that's when I got fully diagnosed for Hashimoto's.
Oh, wow. And I should mention that your background is actually biochemistry, right? And
yes.
The thing that really shocked me when I, you know, we were just talking about it just casually, and I said, "Oh, have you had your thyroid numbers checked, presumably?" And you presented me with several years worth of data, and yeah. It was a true time series. Like, you have an awful lot of data on your thyroid, which is incredibly useful, and it's pretty amazing.
Yeah, so my degree at university was biochemistry, and so a lot of this. I'm very comfortable dealing with the material and the learning with this kind of stuff with health. And I also am a data freak. And so I decided to keep track of all of my data. So I have, I regularly test thyroid. I test it every 3 months. And I have data dating back to 2009 for it. So I'm able to chart that and plot all that and take a look at the varying highs and lows throughout time.
I think that's so cool. You know, I mean, people always assume that, you know, because they're feeling pretty good, that they are pretty good. But, you know, when you think about it, you know, at the cellular level, if something could be wrong and, you know, cells are not doing what they're supposed to be doing. And, you know, how bad would that have to be before you start seeing that as symptoms, you know? So, you know, having this kind of data, I think it's really useful for, you know, getting on top of these problems before they manifest themselves as symptoms. And you think when you're talking about, say, a neuron that's relying on thyroid hormone to do what it does, I mean, you don't want to wait until you've got brain fog and, you know, you can't remember stuff before you start digging in and finding out what's going on, right? So this data is,
absolutely.
I think, so important.
Yeah, you know, functional medicine, the kind of the tenet of it is really comparing both lab results to symptoms and how the client is feeling. And,
right.
And a lot of that is really important because you can have a lab result that comes back quote abnormal, but
right.
The client feels fine.
Yeah.
Or you could have a lab result that comes back normal, but the client doesn't feel fine.
Right.
And it's so important to correlate those and make sure that it makes sense instead of treating lab results, which is often what happened in my experience when I was dealing with traditional medicine practitioners.
Right, yeah, it's definitely, yeah, I think there's certainly limitations. I mean, the tests are extremely useful, but, you know, there are limitations. And certainly with the hormone testing, you know, the big thing that pops into my mind is we can't really test for your sensitivity to a hormone. So if we're talking about, it doesn't matter whether we're talking about thyroid or cortisol or what, we can't. I mean, really, your experience, or, you know, at the biological level, it's the sum of you know, the amount of circulating hormone and your sensitivity to it that produces the net result. And we can't really test your sensitivity to it. So you could be experiencing, you know, low thyroid symptoms, but the labs come back normal, right? Because So tell us what happened. So you've been working with the chiro. You went to see the endocrinologist, and then what happened? And then what did you try?
So then we did the final diagnosis of Hashimoto's, and then he really suggested that I do some thyroid medication. So I started. I don't even remember what I was on at that point in time, but it was some synthetic thyroid medication that I was on, levothyroxine probably, and so I went ahead and decided that, okay, I'm going to do this medication and I'm going to have to declare that with the FAA. And it also puts me into a different medical bucket with the FAA. So that meant that I was going to have to do what's called a special issuance medical, which means there's a lot more oversight and I would need some documentation, including normal lab results, in order to get a medical. So I was going down that path and, you know, the endocrinologist, I wasn't feeling any better. And my lab results weren't coming back normal. They were still showing out of bounds. And so he kept saying, well, let's just up your dosage. And so we did a couple cycles of those. And, you know, with thyroid, it's you kind of start to feel a little bit like a guinea pig because you try a dosage, you have to wait for 6 weeks for that to stabilize in your body. And then you retest. And then if that's not good, then you do it again. And again, treating test results, right? And you really go through that cycle for a very long period of time, and it can take a long time. And for me, it wasn't getting better. And we kept upping the dosage and upping the dosage. And I got really frustrated and decided that I wasn't going to work with this guy anymore. He wasn't kind of going down the path because really he kept saying, well, we're going to up the dosage to a point. But then, you know, if that doesn't work, then we're either going to have to surgically remove the thyroid or do irradiated iodine and burn the thyroid out. And that was not a path that I wanted to go down at all.
That sounds awful, doesn't it? It's that kind of, well, we're going to treat the symptoms, and if that doesn't work, we'll cut it out.
Yeah, we'll just cut the thing out because, you know, the thyroid's not essential, right? You're not going to die without one. Well, it kind of is essential if there's receptors on every cell, in my opinion.
I'm not even sure it works, does it? Like, if you have had your thyroid irradiated or cut out, I'm not sure it's possible to remove all of the tissue. So if it's an autoimmune condition where you're producing thyroid, you know, antibodies against that tissue, then I think you can still get, you know, like a kind of an autoimmune disease, even though the you know, they say that the gland has been removed.
Yeah. So I've talked to many people with Hashimoto's that have either had surgical removal or irradiation removal, and some are better now. They claim that they're better. And they were having issues, you know, balancing their thyroid before. Some are not. Some are having a terrible time now that it's removed. So I'm not convinced that that's the end-all, be-all solution for sure.
Yeah. So then you went on to work with Chris Kresser, right? Which is
I did. So, yeah. So I got really frustrated with my endocrinologist, decided that I was going to fire him. Never actually told him that he was fired. I just never went back. And I decided to scare myself with Dr. Google. And stumbled across Chris Kresser's website. And, you know, for the first time, somebody was really talking about why you're still feeling bad if you're taking thyroid medication and all the underlying mechanisms that could be going wrong with the thyroid. And, you know, the thyroid's tied in with the hypothalamus and the pituitary and the brain, and it's tied in with, you know, gut function and adrenal function and all these different things that I found that I really thought that for the first time I found somebody who understood the complexities of what was going on and that there were, you know, some good natural solutions that you could really work with.
It's interesting that, you know, in modern medicine, you have, you know, specialists, like you talked about, an endocrinologist. And I just wonder how much that guy really knew about gut health and liver function. But we know for sure that those two things have to be, you know, spot on in order for you to have, you know, good thyroid function, right? So it's kind of almost doesn't make sense to, I mean, surely there's, you know, it's such a complex system. You need to divide that complexity in some way. But it seems like, you know, just to make like very deep sort of vertical, you know, specializations in this way. It doesn't really make a lot of sense to me.
Yeah, it makes sense if you're dealing with a disease state. That's when it makes sense. If you've got some kind of kidney disease and you need to see a kidney specialist, that's when it makes sense. Right. And I think a lot of our traditional medical model is based off of disease state or acute treatment, trauma right. treatment. They're fantastic for that.
Chris, sure.
You just got some screws in your wrist from a broken right. wrist, you know, and that's fantastic that you were able to get that kind of treatment and get such quick healing in that sense. But when it comes to the overall body and its systems and how they all work together, we haven't had that kind of medical education. I mean, we have in the sense of really basic bio 101. I mean, I had in biochemistry some real basic education, but then, you know, our medical programs are focused more on trauma and disease state from that point forward. So I don't think that they have necessarily had the in-depth training where functional medicine is starting to step in. And even if they did have some, they've been so busy with their practice that they probably have not been keeping up on the latest medicine discoveries.
Oh, that's for sure. So, yeah. So what did you find? Like, was that like the difference between night and day when you finally found Chris Gresser and started working with him?
Well, you know, what was really interesting is for the first time I had somebody do extensive lab work. So our first set of labs came back at 5 or 6 pages of data. I couldn't believe how much data was there. And he spent 2 hours with me, which is unheard of in the medical industry. Most of the time it's like 15 minutes with these guys, you know? And I was pretty amazed that he found so many underlying things. We found definitely Hashimoto's and some imbalance with the thyroid. We found some problems with adrenal. And we also found pretty severe iron anemia. Mm-hmm. And like I said, I was eating, quote, healthy at the time, and that healthy was basically a vegetarian diet, and it was mostly organic, and I was trying not to eat junk food, but I was definitely keeping up with my organic granola bars when I was on the road flying mm-hmm. and stuff, and it just wasn't working for me. And I'd never really understood why it wasn't working for me, but the iron anemia was something that was pretty shocking for me because I hadn't really noticed that I had been feeling that bad. And his first thing was to put me on a pretty strict paleo diet at that point. So ditch the grains, the dairy, the alcohol, the sugar, the legumes, and do that for 30 days. And I was nervous about adding meat back into my diet. And so he helped me reintroduce meat into my diet and help with digestion in that sense. And I, within 30 days, I felt so much better. I mean, it was remarkably different. It didn't solve everything, but it definitely had a huge impact in how I felt.
Wow. That's funny. I went through almost the same thing, actually, because I was trying to be a vegetarian as well. And I also had iron deficient anemia, too. And it's like a really big step if you're currently a vegetarian or even worse, a vegan, to you know, go back to eating meat. I mean, I think it's even, you know, from a physiological standpoint, you know, you probably don't have all the enzymes you need to break down meat. So it's difficult in that respect too. But we were talking about this the other day, and I wonder whether there's a lot of vegetarians and vegans out there that kind of, they know in their heart that it's not the best thing for them, and that they probably believe that, you know, that humans are extremely resilient and you can do anything for a time, but eventually you're going to come unstuck. But now they're sort of married to it. And it's almost like, I don't know what the word is, but to go back on that decision seems almost hypocritical almost. But I think sometimes, you know, like when it becomes so painfully obvious, or even better, you have someone like Chris Gresser tell you that this is what you need to do to be healthy, then the decision becomes an awful lot easier, you know? And I wonder how many other vegetarians and vegans are out there are just waiting for someone to tell them, give them the nod, look, it's okay. You can eat meat. It's fine. And they will.
Yeah.
I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong about that.
No, I think you're absolutely onto something, because of course I was feeling a little hypocritical going back on my, you know, moralistic vegetarianism. But part of it was mainly because I was trying to stay healthy on the road. I was on the road all the time and eating in restaurants a lot. And so I thought the best way to do that is just go vegetarian and try and not eat a bunch of junk on the road. But it wasn't working for me. And you know, what's really interesting is iron anemia contributes to hypoxia when you're low in oxygen. And right. hypoxia affects pilots when you're at altitude. Yeah. And I had noticed that I was getting hypoxic much lower than before.
And your cabin's not pressurized then? So the type of plane that you're flying, it's not got a pressurized cabin?
No, they are, but they're pressurized to 8,000 feet.
Okay.
So and that's still... I was getting hypoxic at 5,000.
Okay.
So, you know, manually adjusting the pressurization systems, there's a limit. You can't get right. sea level in an airplane cabin. And it was contributing to the fatigue because I was just so exhausted because I couldn't get enough oxygen in to my cells.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, I think I've heard Chris Kresser say that kind of oxygen deliverability is a bit of a deal breaker, really. I mean, and the same with thyroid hormone too, right? Those
totally.
Two things are very much deal breakers. And I mean, not just for professional pilots or athletes. I mean, obviously for me as well, I'm still, actually it's been a long time since I've checked it, but, you know, I was, you know, severely anemic too. Well, I say like my hematocrit was, you know, somewhere in the sort of high 30s, but, you know, for someone trying to perform in bike races, that's kind of not great.
It's kind of essential that we have oxygen, you know, it's not an optional thing.
Exactly. Right. Yeah. So tell me what happened with Chris Kresser in the end. I think that's kind of interesting.
Yeah, so Chris isn't a medical doctor, so he cannot prescribe medication. So to deal with the thyroid, it was still clear that I needed to take thyroid medication, and so he recommended a doctor that was a very similar mindset, who it follows very closely Weston A. Price principles, mm-hmm. Which is very similar to paleo. And so I started working with the two doctors. And so I'd work with Dr. Cowan in San Francisco on thyroid, and I'd work with Chris on the rest of the lifestyle modification and the rest of the stuff. And it worked well for a period of time, but really what was happening is, even though they were of similar mindsets, they weren't actively collaborating together on my case. And so I was left as a patient to kind of hear what Chris said, interpret that, relay that over to Dr. Cowan, have him say something, change something around, listen to that, interpret it, you know, and I felt like the middleman. And it wasn't as effective. And I was still having lots of issues with thyroid stability. So in... gosh, maybe late 2010, it became really clear I was not going to have normal thyroid labs. Even though I was on thyroid medication, I still hadn't solved it. Things were pretty variable, and I wasn't going to be able to pass that FAA medical. So I had to find work outside of being a pilot, and so I chose to do that. But still, I continued to work with Dr. Cowan for 3 years trying to get it to be stable Wow. enough. We would get it stable. And I would go and I'd get my FAA medical and I'd start teaching again and, you know, flying a little bit and then it would go out of range again. And then it would go stable and then it would get out of range. And so it was kind of topsy-turvy all the time. And eventually I was on Synthroid coupled with an over-the-counter thyroid supplement, a glandular supplement. And that wasn't working. I was definitely, in 2013, I would have high TSH of 14 and I would have a low TSH of 0.02 and it would topsy-turvy back and forth all year long. And so I finally decided at that point that I was going to find a functional medicine clinic that could do everything because I really needed somebody to look at the overall case. And that's when I stumbled on Dr. Alan Christensen's clinic in Scottsdale. And now I'm working with one of his physicians, Dr. Adrian Stewart. And that's way better. It's really helping.
Excellent. So how did your diet change with all this? What was the progression? So tell me, so you were vegetarian, you had grains in your diet, so you met Chris Kresser, and then how did it progress from there? Did you, you know, because I think of paleo as being a template and you kind of customize it.
Yeah.
So did you find certain foods that did and didn't work for you? And did any of those affect your thyroid numbers? Or was it just, you know, kind of you adjusted it to you know, how you felt good and what you were happy eating?
I think, well, definitely for 30 or 60 days, I was on the strict paleo diet of pulling out those foods. And then I would reintroduce certain foods. Mostly I reintroduced caffeine, sugar, and I reintroduced some dairy. But what I did find on the reintroduction of dairy is that I can't tolerate cow milk dairy. I can tolerate butter, and I can tolerate some sheep cheese, but I can't really tolerate the dairy. So that's kind of where I left it. I didn't really try and reintroduce any of the grains or legumes. I did have accidental exposure to gluten, and that was a very awful experience. So I try and treat gluten as the devil and never really get around it. And so that's kind of where I've been for the last several years. And coupled with Dr. Stewart changing my medication and also really kind of looking further at what's going on with me, and also some encouragement from yourself, Chris, I've decided to also try the autoimmune paleo protocol, which means no nightshades, no nuts, no seeds, and do that for 60 days. No eggs. That's a new one for me. So I'm going without those things for 60 days to see if it's having an effect. And I can already see, I've only really been into it about a week or two, and I can see an effect already on skin and all sorts of things. So I'm curious to see really how this is going to turn out at the end of my 60-day experiment.
Yeah, that's cool. I should probably describe what the autoimmune protocol is. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. For those of you that haven't, I think it was originally described as the autoimmune caveat in Rob Wolf's book. But I'm sure you know, Sarah Ballantyne is the PhD medical researcher that popularized it. And it's the diet that I adopted back a couple of years ago that I had phenomenal results with. And so you can search for this lady, her name's The Paleo Mom, thepaleomom.com, and she has a wonderful new book out called The Paleo Approach that I would highly recommend to anyone. She's also a medical illustrator, and the book is just filled full of fantastic illustrations, and it really is an extremely complete book in that, you know, it's not just about food, it's about all the other things that cause increased intestinal permeability or leaky gut, and it's that condition that we now believe is prerequisite to all autoimmune diseases, including Hashimoto. So it's, I think, a really important body of work and a fantastic book that I'd encourage anyone to buy. Even if you don't have an autoimmune disease, actually, I've you know, worked with several people now that are really interested in maximizing their nutrient density, and the autoimmune protocol is the diet to do that. So if that's all you want to do, if you're just an athlete that's just looking to, you know, get the most out of your food so that you don't need to take a magnesium supplement, say, then buy that book, and it's full, you know, the back of it is full of fantastic tables with lots of data on how you can get these things from food without having to dive into supplements, which can get quite expensive.
Yeah.
So FDN. So FDN is a training course. It's for unlicensed practitioners. And so it's ideal for people like you and me. And it doesn't really address the thyroid directly. So this is not a training course all about how to fix your thyroid, is it? This is really a training course on uncovering root causes and, you know, getting you healthy using the assistance of lab tests, right? So the course starts by having you run some labs on yourself, which obviously is going to be really interesting for you. So tell me about which tests you ran and what you found.
Yeah, so you know, it's been interesting because the course really appealed to me, not only because of my biochemistry background, but because I decided that I really did want to help other people, and if I was going to be able to help other people, I wanted a way to be able to approach it the same way that Chris Kresser has and Dr. Stewart has been able to do, which is a full lifestyle approach: diet, rest, exercise, stress reduction, in conjunction with the labs that are so useful, and also supplementation protocols. And that those are the tenets of FDN. And I really have been enjoying the course, and I'm almost finished. I'm very excited to be finished. And so for me, I ran one of the key pivotal labs in that course is the BioHealth 205. And that one is an adrenal profile as well as metabolites of pregnenolone, which gets into your sex hormones. And that was a big indicator because, of course, I've made a lot of progress at this point. Compared to how I felt in 2010 to how I feel now, it's like night and day. But I was pretty amazed to see that my adrenals were not recovering. I thought they were, they're not. And so I was pretty surprised actually by those results that I'm stage 3 adrenal fatigue still. And so that really indicated to me that there's something more going on. And so I'm digging deeper, and so I'm going to go ahead and do, the further urine and stool test to see how much gut dysfunction is going on and whether or not there's any parasites. And so that's currently in progress, and I'm excited. And yeah, I don't know why I'm excited, but I'm excited about doing the lab tests and finding the results and really trying to dig deeper to see if I can find a solution to the adrenal fatigue.
Well, I think that's huge because, I mean, I was just talking to someone the other day and, you know, we do these consults with clients and they tell us, you know, a little bit about their background, and I'm pretty careful not to get too deep into all of the symptoms because that's not really how we work. We really like to do the lab tests and uncover the root causes of some of these things and then look at, you know, what's going on with you and kind of try to match up some of these things and figure out the real root causes. And this one client was kind of a little bit concerned that I wasn't, you know, doing the whole, you know, rundown of every single little symptom and didn't need to know every specific detail about, you know, his thyroid specifically. And I said, you know, it's not that we don't care about your thyroid and it's not that, you know, your thyroid may not improve from this whole process. But the thing is like when you're having these thyroid issues, that's smoke and it's not usually the fire.
Correct.
And so it's funny to hear you say this now, thinking back of all of this lab work that you've done and all of these tests that you've done and everything that you've done to think, you know, maybe there is some kind of other hidden root cause that might be the root of all of this kind of thyroid confusion.
Totally. You know, and the adrenals and the gut function are so important. And a lot of our immune system is in the gut. And I hadn't known that before until I embarked on this journey. And unless we have good gut health, we're not going to have good health at all. And so because of that, I know that there's some more work to do for me, which is great because if I feel great now, then that means I'm going to feel fantastic later. So I'm excited about that. Julie, you had mentioned a little bit about women and Hashimoto's.
Yeah.
I just wanted to elaborate a little bit on that. What I've learned about Hashimoto's is that 80 to 85% of the people who are diagnosed with Hashimoto's are women.
Mm-hmm.
So it does affect many, many women. And same thing with autoimmune diseases. They're starting to find that a lot of autoimmune diseases are affecting mostly women. I don't know why that is. I have my own theories on why that is, but I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that the hormone systems in women they do a little bit more complicated dance than the hormone systems in men. And I think it's very easy for them to tip out of balance. I mean, the female body is pretty amazing that it can grow another human inside of it and, you know, create another life and do all of those things. And that's a massive amount of hormone fluctuation across the life cycle of a female. And so I think a lot of that has to do with that and why we're seeing so many hormonal issues with women.
Yeah, I'm really hoping and looking forward to, you know, some of the leading minds in this community doing some more research and digging into this because it's really frustrating. You know, Sarah Gottfried does great work and has written some great books, and I think she's done a lot to kind of advance us in figuring out, and at least, you know, even if we can't get to the bottom of it right away, figuring out ways of really taking care of ourselves and at least trying to solve these problems, even if we can't, you know, elucidate or elaborate on exactly what is causing them to begin with or why we're so different from men. But, you know, with that, I guess just, you know, you've had this like great successful career. You followed the things that you wanted to do. But also, you know, your health kind of got in the way of doing some of the things that you wanted to do. And I think that's something that a lot of women can relate to, even if they haven't taken the steps yet to take care of themselves and fix it. And so I just kind of wondered what your best tips would be for women that are kind of in this situation. You know, they've got all these things going on, whether they're trying to, you know, be super successful in a career or they're staying at home with their kids and maybe they're, you know, facing some of the same symptoms that you did, the fatigue, the sleepiness, the weight gain, the, you know, just not feeling yourself, not being the best that you can be, where should someone get started and what could they do to try to dig out of that hole?
Yeah. So, I mean, you really brought a good point to it, which is that as women, we're hardwired to nurture. I don't think we can get out of that one. So even though I personally have chosen not to have children and I haven't had children, I'm still hardwired to nurture, which means I take care of everybody else before I take care of myself.
Yeah.
And that has always been the case. And even if that one of those somebody else's was my career, I would take care of my career first before I would take care of myself. And so I think really we get so tied up in doing all of that, we forget how important it is to do small little bits of self-care, like just taking 5 minutes out of the day to be quiet, or taking yourself to go get that pedicure or whatever it has to be for you, but making sure that you're taking that time for yourself is so important. And I think I ignored that for a good 20 some odd years. And then really focusing in on the things that we kind of mentioned here, on diet, you know, and making sure that you're getting maximum nutrients out of your diet. Because we can't keep burning the candle at both ends and then feed ourselves crap. It doesn't work. It's like putting water in your car instead of gasoline. You need to put the proper kind of fuel into your body. And then if that doesn't really work out, then finding a functional nutritional or functional practitioner of some kind to really help you dig into the hormonal stuff, because you had mentioned Sarah Gottfried, and she's got this really great phrase that I identify with a lot, which is you want to avoid taking that stumble down the hormonal flight of stairs if you can, because I've done it. I stumbled down that hormonal flight of stairs, and once you start with one system, it kind of topples into all the other hormonal systems, and it becomes like a big puzzle piecing it all back together.
Yeah, that's huge. That's a really good point. That's all very good advice.
Yeah.
So you're just about finished with FDN, and clearly you know an awful lot about thyroid, and clearly it's very difficult to find someone that's both knows as much as you, but also has the same amount of time. You know, like if I find a really good doctor, I mean, that's the problem with Chris Kresta now. And also the doctor that trained us, Dan Cayley, he's amazing, but he just doesn't have the time to give the kind of love that you need to, you know, recover from this stuff, you know, to do the life and diet coaching to get you back to where you need to be. So, you know, for that reason, people like you would really appeal to me. So am I right in thinking that, you know, if someone's listening and they've got some thyroid issues, we can get hold of you and start working with you?
Absolutely. So I need to graduate before I can start taking clients, but you can go to my website now and sign up for that list, and I'll be in contact as soon as I'm done. But you're absolutely right. It's taking people like yourself and myself and all the other people that are going through courses like the FDN course or the Kalish course, and because we need more people to be able to do the coaching with folks. We've got so many things that are contributing to why our society is getting all of these chronic issues and all of these autoimmune issues. And it really is going to take sometimes you just need some help, and sometimes you need some guidance, because we've got a lot of media out there and a lot of things that we've been told for decades now of how to eat, and it's not working for a lot of people. And so we really do need that, but absolutely. I would be happy to help anybody who's looking for some help.
Yeah. So even now you can still go across to you've got a beautiful looking blog, TariaRodriguez.com. So you blog over there regularly. So you should add that to your feed list. And then you say you've got a sign up form already that people can start
If they visit TariaRodriguez.com, and Chris, I'm hoping you'll put it in the show notes so that people know how to spell it. But if they visit, there's a little banner at the top. They can click there. That'll take them to the sign up form, and they just sign up, and they'll be one of the first to be notified when I do open my doors for consultations.
That's great. And then so we can, you can get started with lab tests, right? So, I mean, clearly the lab testing is an important part of the solution that we're describing. And so, you know, if I wanted to do an adrenal stress profile, that you'll be able to order that for people, right?
Absolutely. I've got plenty of lab tests that I can order for people, but I'll be starting people off with adrenal stress profiles for sure. And that's a pivotal one. And then if that indicates further investigation, we'll do some further testing and see where things go.
That's great.
Yeah.
Okay, well, this has been a really interesting conversation, and I want to thank you so much for your time for coming on today. It's been really great.
Oh, well, it's been my pleasure, and I've really enjoyed talking to both of you.
Awesome. Okay. Well, have a great day, and thanks so much for being with us. We'll talk to you again, I'm sure.
Okay.
Cheers, Andrea.
Bye.
Bye-bye.